Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. We are so excited. Yes, we are. For we have been studying Dr. David Jeremiah's Book of Signs. And as we have reviewed, we've talked about Israel, we've talked about Russia. Tonight, we are going to talk about Babylon. And so if you will join us as we prepare for tonight's study, we will start off with prayer, and then we'll go into a song by Yolanda Adams. And after we have her song, then we will again read the scripture. The scripture, I think Bishop Michael Snoddy will have a scripture for us from the text. And from that point, we will do a intercessory prayer. And it looks like Dr. Nooks is on the line, and maybe we can get him to lead us in intercessory prayer. If he is available, we will see. But come now, and let's go to our Lord. Most holy and righteous God, we come before you as we study your word. We've come, O God, because we want to sit at your feet. We want to glean revelation knowledge so that we can grow. We can understand where you want us to be and what you want us to know, and share that same knowledge and understanding with your people. So, Lord, as we come to you, we ask that you walk with us, yes, during this time of celebration, that you talk with us and help us to celebrate, be excited about the word as we learn more and more. And as we go forth, we are trusting you to give the increase. Lord, change our hearts and minds. Transform us so that we can have a clean heart. Help us, O God, to be able to retain the words that we study in the scripture so that we can hide it in our heart. And as we go forward this day, we praise you. We magnify you because you've been so, so good. And we thank you, Lord, as we come before you to study and to learn of you tonight. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, we will have a song from Yolanda Adams. And after that song, we will Bishop Snoddy will have scriptures for us.
I'm so afraid,
afraid of disappointing you. Oh, I need to talk to you and ask you for your guidance, especially today when my life is so cloudy. Guide me until I'm sure.
Version of the Bible, the 18th chapter of Revelation, beginning at the first verse. After the vision of these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. This angel had great power, and his glory made the earth bright. He shouted in a powerful voice, "Ruin, ruined is the great city of Babylon. She has become a home for demons and a prison for every evil spirit and a prison for every unclean bird and unclean beast. She has been ruined because all the peoples of the earth have drunk the wine of the desire of her sexual sin. She has been ruined also because the kings of the earth have sinned sexually with her and with the merchants of the earth, have grown rich, the great wealth of her luxury. I heard another voice saying, come out of that city, my people, so you will not share in her sin, so you will not receive the disasters that will come to her. Her sins have piled up as high as the sky, and God has not forgotten the wrong she has done. Give that city the same as she gave to others. Pay her back as twice as much as she did. Prepare wine for her that is twice as strong as the wine she prepared for others. She gave herself much glory of living. Give her that much suffering and sadness. She says to herself, I am a queen sitting on my throne. I am not a widow. I will never be sad. So the disasters will come to her in one day, death and crying and hunger, and she will be destroyed by fire because the Lord God who judges her is powerful. This is the word of the Lord. I've read Revelations 18, 1 through 8, and the people said amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So this is the time for our intercessory prayer. I invite those that are participating in the Bible study tonight to share prayer requests and also praises that they may want to give.
Amen.
And this is Bishop Michael Tulsa. I have two prayer requests, and both of them are for bereaving families. A very dear friend of mine that went to school at Oral Roberts, his name is Brian Simpson. We lost his wife about 2 weeks ago. And just pray for Brian and the boys and Rasha's family. And my cousin, who just lost his grandmother, Keenan, lost his grandmother, and so pray for those families who are, you know, in mourning right now.
Amen.
Amen. This is Dr. Susie, Indianapolis. I just want to just praise God for travel mercies. I'm so tired some of the time, and I just thank the Lord that I arrived to work safely and come back safely. Also just thanking God for a job and the health of myself and my family. My prayer request and my praise report.
Amen.
By the way, Jamie's better. Jamie's better too. He's out of the hospital.
Amen.
He's home and he's doing well.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Anyone else?
Anybody else?
Well, this is James in Columbus, and I want to say that I lost my son-in-law last Monday to COVID, and just pray for his wife and children and the whole family. We've been grieving. So his name was Sean Evage, and special prayer for my daughter, Amy.
Amen.
I thank God for every day that I have. It's a blessing.
Amen.
I see God more and more in so much of what's happening in our world and all around. And I thank God that God has been with me throughout my life, and at the most difficult times, God has lifted me, and I just praise God for that, for being presence,
Amen.
A presence in my life.
Amen.
No one else?
This is Dr. Susie. I also wanted to mention that we got a text from Shirley, and she is traveling. We also got a text from Margaret. Margaret initially was working on the Bible study, and she worked. She said, oh, she was so ready. She worked very hard, but they can't get, she cannot get her signal to come through. So we'll be praying for them so that if she can, she'd at least be able to hear the Bible study. I don't know if she'll be able to get through or not. But we will go on, and she can pick up with us next week. Also, Eric is going to join us, but again, he's praying for his uncle. I think that's the people for this week.
Okay. Well, the God of the universe, the God of our strength, the God of all that we need, and a God that provides even more than we deserve. We thank you for your presence tonight. And we thank you for your presence throughout our lives. And God, we ask you to touch in a special way your people all over the world that are standing up, trying
Amen.
To do what is right in the face of so much that is not right.
Yes.
God, we pray a special prayer for our country in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
There's so much going on, so much division, God, and we pray that people can come together and they can turn their eyes to the hills from whence cometh their help. Our help cometh from the Lord. And so much sickness, God, and so many people have died. So many reasons. COVID has just been prevalent, killing so many people. So much confusion about wearing a mask or getting a shot. God, we pray that people cannot be so angry and hateful to one another. There is a spirit that's hovering over us like a cloud, a dark cloud.
Yes.
That's causing people to be combative with one another and forget about the fact that we are sisters and brothers. And God, we pray that somehow people's minds and hearts can be touched. We need you, God, in a mighty way. Help your people to lift you up. Help your people to pray. And God, we lift up Brian Simpson. Bishop Michael mentioned his name. He lost his wife 2 weeks ago. And God, we pray for that family in a special way, that you would touch them and comfort them, God, as only you can. Help them, God, as they go through the days to come. And even right now. God, we also pray for Kenan, Bishop Michael's cousin. He lost his grandmother, I believe it was, and we pray for him in a special way, God. Again, comfort and strength, direction.
Thank you, Jesus.
And God, we lift up Dr. Susie, God, who is our leader in the Bible study. And she's been traveling long distance, and it really wears on her. And so we are grateful for traveling mercies, but we are also praying, God, for strength. and perhaps that she can find a location that's closer
yes.
to her work, or
yes.
her work moves closer to where she wants to
Amen.
Live. We
yes,
pray
sir.
That you
yes,
intercede in that situation, God. And Dr. Sudhi is also grateful for her job and for her health and her family's health, especially for James, who is home now, who is doing better.
Thank you.
We're so grateful, God.
Thank
James
you.
Has been
Thank
through
you,
so much, so many years, God. And truly, he is my hero. And I don't know how he's been so strong and how he just keeps bouncing back. But we're uplifted by his strength, by the strength that you've given him. Continue to bless him and walk with him. And God, I ask you to bless my daughter in a special way, Amy. We just lost her husband about a week ago, and there's been so much turmoil in the family. His side of the family is just so angry and wanting to fight and fuss. And God, we are grateful that we've come through some of the nonsense, and we're moving forward. And we pray that you would continue to touch Amy and Sean and Amy's children in a special way as we move forward in for his funeral on Saturday.
Jesus.
And God, I'm just so grateful for your presence in my life. I don't know about anybody else, but I don't know what I would do without you. And
Amen.
And God, I have hope.
Hallelujah.
I have strength because
Thank you.
Of you. And God,
Thank you, Lord.
Even in the darkest situation, we know that you can still step up and say, peace be still. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with us. And I'm so grateful for that, God, today. And we've had some people that have texted Dr. Sudhi. We pray for Shirley, who's traveling. We pray for Margaret that she might be able to get a connection. She has difficulty getting a connection for the call. But we're just continuing to pray for her that she might be able to hear if she can't get a full connection. And we pray for Eric, God, in a special way.
Yes.
And we pray for his uncle in a special way. We pray for healing. We pray for strength for the family. And God, we pray for this Bible study, that somebody
Amen.
Who's listening in might be touched, and all of us that are participating might grow and get closer to you and closer to each other. Help to break down the barriers that exist that we have made between us that cause such
yeah.
separation, that we might be able to help Jesus. One another. We need each other.
Yeah. Yes,
and we
God.
Need you. Thank you, Lord,
we need
for
to
this
Lord.
Day and for
Thank
all
you.
That you have been. All throughout our lives, in Jesus' name, I pray.
Thank you, Lord.
We pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Nux, we thank you so much for that word prayer. Thank you, Bishop Snoddy, for the scripture.
Praise
and
God.
As we begin tonight, we're going to start off with a roll call, but before that, a little bit of going to do a little housekeeping and share a little bit about the in the studio protocol. So asking that those of us who are in the studio would not wear a speakerphone, but would use a headset so that the sound doesn't reverberate and echo and create havoc in the studio. We also ask that if you're going to be on the line, that you would not have your line open while you've got a television on or dog barking in the background or a kid yelling or neighbors, and that you would just go ahead and put it on mute. And if you need to, the only challenge with putting it on mute is that you forget and you start talking and you forget it's on mute. So we just ask that you be cognitive that we may be trying to tell you to take it off you if you forget. So let us join together tonight and celebrate what God is doing in the midst of us. So we're going to talk about Babylon. And Babylon I was looking at an archaeological site of Babylon, and it was saying that it was has one of the most influential empires of the ancient world ruled. The ancient city was the capital of the Babylonian Empire, considered to be a center of commerce, art, and learning, estimated to have been the largest early city in the world, perhaps the first to reach a population above 200,000. Presently, Babylon only has several thousand residents and a few villages within this archaeological boundary, although instructions have increased rapidly in recent years with some encroaching on the ruins. The archaeologist's site is about 85 kilometers south of the present-day Baghdad in Hilal Babil Governorate, Iraq, and its boundaries have been based on the perimeter of the ancient outer city walls, an area of about 1,054 hectares. But anyway, Babylon was inscribed by UNESCO as a World Heritage Site, and today it receives thousands of visitors all year round. So that's the little bit I have. So I invite you all to share what you all have or understand of Babylon. So there's all different kind of directions you can go with this. So feel free to share.
This is Bishop Michael. And Babylon was home to one of the seven wonders of the world, which were the Hanging Gardens in Babylon.
What?
Only one of the seven wonders of the world. And it was located in Babylon. It was built for... Can you hear me?
I couldn't hear you say it was home of the... What kind of garden?
The Hanging
Garden. The Hanging... Hanging.
Yeah.
Okay. Hanging Garden. Awesome.
Yeah. And it's in modern-day Iraq. So if you want to know where it was, it was where Iraq is right now. So... That's one, you know, to give you a geographical reference as to where Babylon is located.
Amen. Anybody else have any statements of what they know of Babylon?
This is Jerry from Maine, and if you read the book that we've all been reading, Dr. Jeremiah talks about the fact that Babylon was the most important city in the world for almost 2,000 years. And as Pastor Susie said, it was the commercial and the financial center for Mesopotamia and pretty much the world. They called it the center of the world. It had the most prominent position for that because the way it was positioned with Iraq was the Mediterranean and Europe and everything. So it was kind of the world center for the financial, any kind of financial, agricultural, cultural, whatever. And that's one of the things that I remember most about it.
Awesome.
Mm.
Anybody
it's
else?
It's interesting.
Yeah,
this is James. I was just going to say that how much power and influence Babylon is going to have for the Antichrist and those and the government that he sets up. It's going to be the financial center, but it's also going to be a center of immorality and.
Mm-hmm.
People will seek to be there. It's going to be the financial center of the world. So, I mean, anybody that's going to want to trade or do business, governments, you know, I would think, I perceive this as like a city where there's going to be banks and money and will come there to exchange goods and services. And very, very, very important city, but also a city of immorality. And it kind of reminds me of how we are today with our immorality and how much we've given in to money and materialism and how important that is.
Well,
in our lives, how it governs countries. It causes people to want to take over areas, greed. And when money is that important, you know, immorality tends to go toward that also. But it just highlights the importance that people put on goods and services and money.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that people will... They'll be a part of it. I mean, they'll seek to be a part of it. It's sort of like selling their souls to the devil, you know, to me.
Mm.
It's going to be hard for people to want to leave it. It's like, you know, Lot's wife, when she turned around, she wanted to see her city. It's going to be hard for people to turn away from Babylon. So it's going to be the place where a lot of folks want to go, people with money and people that got something. They're going to want to desire to go there. So,
you know,
very influential.
Does that remind you of Dubai? Kind of like Dubai, you know how everybody wants to go to Dubai?
Yeah, it does. In a way, it kind of reminds me of the United States.
Well, come on now. Come on. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Everybody wants to come here.
I think that's a very good illustration and analogy. And, you know, we talked about how in Daniel's dream that the kingdom of gold, Babylon was going to be the kingdom of gold, right? And that was back in 606 B.C. that lasted 70 years. It says it was dripping with gold in terms of its wealth. So as you talk about the wealth, as you talk about the money and, you know, the idea of what all goes with the money, the things that follow money, drugs, sex, immorality, you name it. That's why you were seeing all of the immorality that will occur there as well. So, you know, that goes with it. Anyone else? I think this is excellent discussion. Okay. So that's how we wanted to start, with asking questions about what do you think Babylon is all about? What do you think Babylon is all about? So now that we kind of have some idea and we're reminded, you see, of what the scripture has been telling us, then I wonder, David Jeremiah talks about Babylon today. He talks about how they're going to rebuild the old city. And, you know, it makes me wonder when we look at the United States, when we look at how, as our country, how we spend billions of dollars on sexual slave trade and pornography and sex slaves, the sex trade, and how all over the world is becoming more and more of a commodity, and how people are being stolen and killed and drugged just to have people who are missing all over the place because they're being used as slaves. And so all the different things that go with money, money and immorality. So the city of Babylon is currently in ruins, I've been told. But according to prophecy, what does it say is going to happen? It's going to rise to power, right? Mm-hmm. So did anybody look in the 18th chapter of Revelation? Anybody check there? Well, in the 18th chapter, it says that Babylon will once again rule the economic world. But this time, it's going to be a hub for the Antichrist one world economy. Wow.
Yeah.
What does that make you think about when you hear that? You know, for me,
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Bishop.
For one, you know, I kind of look at, you know, the new currencies that are coming into play with cryptocurrency and because there's going to be some sort of devaluation of the precious metals. I believe this will be an alternative for digital currency. It makes me think that, you know, it's going to be something that's brand new, but it also makes me think that the behaviors are nothing new. For there's nothing new, the Bible says, that's under the sun. So, being drunk with the wine of her immorality's been around forever. And, you know, it's going to be celebrated as, you know, as we'll see the difference of the different centers that Babylon is going to be part of as we continue to go on. But it makes me think that there's going to be a recovery of the economy and the people of the world are going to think this is a good thing.
This is James. It makes me think of the stock market, which is already connected, connecting economies all over the world. You know, they report on, what's going on in Europe and China and Taiwan and the United States. You know, people have different, you know, they're exchanging currencies and money through the stock market, the stock exchange. And it reminds me of the European, the Euro, where all these countries are trying to come together in, you know, one currency in Europe. In the United States, you know, the dollar is accepted, you know, like all over the world or in most places in the world. So some currency is more transferable than other currency. But I see countries in the stock exchange and stock market, and they're kind of doing that now. I mean, where they're comparing each other's economic base. And currency. So I can see where somebody could come in and say, well, I'm taking over this thing here, and instead of having 10 different countries reporting in, we're only going to have one. And it's going to be the, you know, whatever it's going to be. Going to be the sestella or whatever. I don't know. I just make up a word. But, I can see that. I mean, I could see that because all these things are connected already electronically, you know, with the computers and whatnot. I think that could happen.
Well, you know, they're already working on the euro. I mean, not the euro, but they're working on the digital dollar now. MIT and I don't remember who else. So, you know. We're due. I hear people talking about a financial reset anytime. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you were talking about Babylon and it being in ruin and stuff, but I just wanted to say one thing that I studied about when I was looking at some of this was the fact that when Saddam Hussein was ruling it and was a dictator, he actually tried to get Babylon back on the road, per se, if you know what I mean, by bringing it back up and things like that, and he wasn't able to do it. It's still at ruins, but at the time, he actually when he, during his reign, he had tried to bring it up to be again, to be a world leader again, and things like that, and it just didn't happen. And I was just wondering what everybody's thinking is about that. Is it, do you think that because that wasn't in God's plan and he wanted it to be closer to the time where the Antichrist was coming and it was going to be a financial, if that's one of the reasons that it didn't come forward, or if we could just discuss
I was wondering. I think that's amazing, you know, that you would bring up Saddam Hussein and it talk about his, with his rise to power, how he promised that Babylon was going to be one of the grandest places, as Bishop Michael was saying, the legendary Hanging Gardens, the Seven Wonders of the World, all this stuff was going to rise from the dust. So he himself had, was going to take upon himself to reincarnate this stuff. And it amazed me. It says that he sort of thought himself to be the reincarnated King Nebuchadnezzar II, who conquered Jerusalem. Right. Remember they talk about Nebuchadnezzar? But because of that, he invested $500 million towards the goal of restoring Babylon. And I think, woo! And so when they went to the ruins of the palace, he asked his gods, how y'all so certain that the date of the construction of the palace? And they could look at the stamps in the bricks where they saw Nebuchadnezzar's name and the date.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
There
so it's it to me, I'm but how genius though. You know, we act like nothing could happen unless, you know, the United States did it. Or, and I keep thinking about the great Zimbabwe and places like that where they didn't have, you know, the tools that we have today. Yes, they're able to have round stones that are still in this stuff today. So it amazes me. Anybody else?
This is Eric.
Hi, Eric.
So how are you? All of what we've discussed about Babylon is the physical piece. The most important thing about Babylon, it is a spiritual separation of God. It is a selflessness, sinful spirit, one that is separate from God. It, as you remember, Nimrod was the first ruler of Babylon, which is in the Old Testament, and they tried to build the Tower of Babel. And what did they say when they were trying to build that tower? That they were going to build a tower of their own to reach to heaven, and they would become one unified, had nothing to do with God. And God saw that and said, nope. He struck it down, and when they all came about, they were all speaking different languages. That's what the scripture tells us. So Babylon is going to be this physical place, but it's also going to have the spirit of wickedness and evilness. And we must always remember that, which is why in the 18th chapter, John tells that the angel said, my people need to come away from out from among them unless you suffer the same plagues that everybody else is going to suffer. And that speaks to today. And that speaks to us today, as Dr. Nooks was saying. The things that are going on, the things that they're doing, the things that are transpiring in this country and other countries. And when we think about Babylon, you know, Dr. David Jeremiah talked about Las Vegas, Tokyo, Paris, you know, some of these other places that once a long time ago, you know, not so long ago, New York City, they were all financial capitals of the world. They were all prevalent places that if you wanted to do business and you wanted to be in the know, you had to have, you know, spend a lot of time there. But in the coming of the new Babylon, it's going to be centered where it is because of the richness of the area, right at the Tigris. It's easy to get to. It's in the middle of everything. The rich oil fields that are there in modern day mm-hmm. Iraq that have yet to be tapped.
That's right. Yeah. Wealthy.
So it's going to grow into all of this because of its location and because God has willed it so. But God has willed it so, and it gets the name again because of its spiritual connotation that we should be aware of, that Babylon itself.
So are you saying this, so it is still being rebuilt today then?
They are talking about that and trying to do that. There are all kind of things that are going on. I mean, we're trying to watch, or we're about to watch the rebirth of the country of Iraq in itself. To have gone through the war and all of that, and they're trying to get back on their feet, and every you know country is trying to get over there and help them rebuild and to get all these contracts so that they can be a part of the renewed regeneration of that country. And so that means it's going to be countrywide, which is going to encapsulate old Babylon in itself. And because it is going to facilitate all of this oil, that people are still wanting to have control over is going to make it even wealthier. Anybody know what the barrel oil is today? I know you know what it is at the gas pump.
It's $4.05 at the gas pump for premium.
That's right.
That's what I know.
Right. That's what you know. But a barrel of oil today is about $86. It hasn't been that high in about 3 years. Right. And
I
so,
put that much in my
so
tank
more,
every time I go.
So the more that the barrel of oil increases, the amount of money increases for those who are controlling it and those who are trading it.
So this was saying. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Dr. Sue. No, go ahead.
Trying to ask the question. No, I was asking a question about the barrel of oil. So go ahead. And you were just explaining it because – go ahead.
No, what is the question?
Well, my question was centered around – so here we are. We're fighting over this – the oil. We're constantly fighting over the oil. We know that Iraq – has had the oil. We know that in this era, Saddam Hussein has said that he was going to be the new Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to reestablish all this. People are saying that they are in the process of rebuilding the city, and all of this money is going towards. They said in January 5th, 2009, $474 million. The most expensive U.S. embassy in the world opened in Baghdad, not far from Babylon. So the area is having expense, you know. But what I was going to ask you was about I'm not good about direction. So their slogan is tourism, not terrorism, and it says they want people to come and visit the cradle of civilization, the land of Babylon and the Garden of Eden will become a paradise for foreign tourists. So the Garden of Eden is somewhere near Iraq?
Yeah. You've got to, when you go back to Genesis, it tells you where the Garden of Eden is, and it's between three rivers, one of the Euphrates,
Tigris,
Euphrates, and one other one. And those are in Iraq. Those
right.
are in modern
some
day
of the,
Iraq.
Jerry,
those
you were,
rivers are in modern
were you
day
over
Iraq.
There in Iraq, Jerry? Were you in Iraq, anybody?
No, I wasn't.
Was anybody on the line in Iraq?
No.
My boss was in Iraq. My boss in Maine was in Iraq, and he said he was in the area, but he never made it to the area where the Garden of Eden was. And it's interesting how people talk about that, but I just thought that all of the money that they're putting in the area is indicative of anything close to that, as in the case of Babylon, is going to be very extravagant. So, because as you just said, they're going to build one of the most, the money place, the place of gold, as was stated in Daniel's dream. So here we go.
As a matter of fact, the Tigris runs directly through Baghdad.
Okay.
So you had the Pishon, you had the Pishon.
Pishon, that's it.
River. You had the Gihon River. The third one is the Tigris, and the fourth one is a branch of the Euphrates River, and those are in what's called modern day Iraq, with the Tigris running directly through Baghdad.
So what we know, according to our Revelation study as well, is that this building program, right, undertaken by the 10 kingdoms, right, empires in the West, are going to be pushed and completed by what? The beast, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be inaugurated as the great world capital of the beast, who will have become the king of all the kingdoms of the globe. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Right where we know it. So when we start looking at this, when we start watching in the news for, you know, we can start watching for this stuff to happen, being aware. Someone was telling me this morning about being watchful and aware. They got something where they call the future of the Babylon Project. I was reading up on it before I called in. And this money that's been donated to conserve and stabilize and complete the site management plan for renovating everything, they really plan on it being a major place for tourism. So it sounds beautiful.
This is Eric.
It sounds beautiful.
That's code word.
Yeah, it is.
That's the code word.
It is.
It's not just tourism. It's you know, come and leave all of your money with us.
That's it right there.
I mean, that's what it is. And you know, most of the world has felt bad about Iraq because they went to war against Iraq under false pretense, as we recall. I mean, let's just face it.
Colin Powell.
And so, right, well, right. I mean, bad information, and it led to that. And so now Iraq understands, okay, so we can play the sympathy card. So now we want them to help rebuild this country. And you know, those who have a heart will say, yeah, because, you know, we shouldn't have done it anyway. But all in God's plan of how all that works. Because even Saddam Hussein's ideal was apart from God. And so there again, we're talking about this Babylonian city, even Nebuchadnezzar. You remember what happened to him? He got driven out of his kingdom because he became so arrogant that he didn't even acknowledge God.
Yeah, but God put it on him.
Right.
He was out there with the beast.
Right.
Eating grass.
And so we've also got to maintain that when we talk about Babylon and all of the lushness and gloriousness and wealth and all of that, we've got to have that underlying thought, too, of the spirit of Babylon. Because I think, my personal opinion, I think God wants us to understand that piece more than we understand the other piece, because we are creatures of eyes and hear and touch and smell and feel. And the spirit piece is saying that's most important, because lest you fall into that spirit, then you will suffer the same consequences and punishment that I'm going to erect, that I'm going to enact on all of those folks who just sold their soul, basically, to mammon, to the devil, to the beast, to whatever.
Right, right. And actually, Dr. Jeremiah, in his book, gives us some areas that we want to be conscientious of. He says that this city, this ancient city that was laid dormant, will dwarf today's world-class cities in opulence and commerce and finance and sin. Mm-hmm. That the reasons for her destruction is she's judged because of her sorcery. Number one, her sorcery. Number two, because of her seductions. Here we go in the immorality that Dr. Nooks talked about. Judged because of her sins. Here we got it three ways: sorcery, seduction, and sin. Then judged because of her self-glorification. And listen to this: because of her slavery. Well, come on, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And because of her sacrifices. Lord have mercy.
Lord and we do mercy. Know what those sacrifices are, right?
Mm.
Go ahead.
Do we know what those sacrifices are, folks? Those are the sacrifices of God's prophets and martyrs, the right.
Christian.
Yeah.
Yes. That's exactly right.
Because we have to remember that during this time of the reincarnation of the Babylon that Dr. David Jeremiah is talking about, is the time of the tribulation, and if you don't have the mark of the beast, you can't do any business.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And if you don't have the mark, then they automatically know that you're not one of them. You're on the other team.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is amazing when we look at this commercial capital of the world, and all of this is taking place during the tribulation, where I'm going to be in heaven with the Lord. Amen. Because I'm going in the rapture.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, but we have to look how the historians are agreeing that this place, they're saying, is the best place in the world to build a world cultural metropolis because of the location at the crossroads of Europe, Asia, and Africa. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
It's right in the crossroads of all of those places. And they said because of that, United States believes in the importance of the region. We involved in that, right? Because we opened the largest embassy. We just got to talking about it. Most expensive embassy, right? In Baghdad.
Yeah, but we want to control the oil.
Of course, you know what
we're
trying
to do. We want to control the oil. The U.S. wants to control the oil. Let's be real. They want to control the oil.
And the purpose behind controlling the oil is?
Control the oil, you control the money.
Thank you.
Control the people.
And their power. Power. We're back to the power. Back to power. See, and that's the issue you get. Go ahead, James.
I was just going to say the United States is always going to be involved in that area because of our support for Israel, too. And I don't know. The embassy in Israel may be more than that one that was in Babylon. They just built a new one in Israel. So it might be interesting to see how much they spend on that. But the United States is going to be in that area because of Israel and because of trying to control have power and influence throughout the whole world. And that's a national interest, concerned about the national safety because, all kind of things can happen there. So as far as radical Islam and whatnot and Iraq and all the people in the Middle East, so it's in our national interest to to be involved in that area, as well as trying to get money.
Dr. Nooks, you are absolutely correct, but what has happened is that over the last 6 or 7 years, in Iraq, as the U.S. started to pull down their forces and started to make concessions that they didn't, wasn't going to patrol and they weren't going to do this, and the Iraqi people didn't want them to leave altogether, so they got to scale down forces. But China and Russia have started to infiltrate those areas as well.
Oh, yeah. They're everywhere.
Because,
all over Africa, Europe, they're everywhere. Yeah.
Right.
And Russia has that pipeline going to Europe, and Europe is big time buying into Russia right now because of that.
Correct. And so we know, well, we should know that if because of the way that our economies are established, oil is gold, more precious than gold, actually. I mean, you think about all you gas to run your cars, fuel, oil to heat your homes, to run factories. Anybody drink anything out of plastic today?
I try not to, but yes.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
what is plastic made out of? What is plastic made
out
of?
Petroleum
products.
Right. I mean, it's based in just about all parts of our daily life.
Well.
Yeah.
And the largest the largest untapped reserves are in modern-day Iraq. And the reason that, remember when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait?
Yes, he did. He did it.
Remember
he
what that was
oil
about? That, there you go.
Oil.
And but we have to look at the importance of Babylon, because it's mentioned, and this blew me away, more than any other scripture next to Jerusalem in scripture. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
But it's always negative.
It is.
But that's a lot. So it tells you how important it is.
And it's something that we need to watch out for as far as the signs of the time of the end times. We need to really watch out for that area.
That's the important thing. That is the important thing because, when we're looking at it from a Western standpoint of view, we don't focus in on where the center of the earth really is insofar as eschatology is concerned. We want to, make things, and it's interesting to me that the architecture in Washington, D.C., it's almost Greco-Roman over there. And so and somebody even alluded to it today on the call where he said, sometimes I think it's Washington. Babylon is Washington, and we have to be careful not to over spiritualize it and read into something that is not there, because like you just said, brother, we got to keep an eye over on that geographical location, the things that are going on over there right now. What are the prophetic implications of being going on that are going on that scripture already said would happen, that is happening right now? There are so many things that are happening that if we don't understand and read the Word of God and understand what the news is saying spiritually, Paul says, that day shall not come upon you as a thief in the night. If you are a born-again Christian, if you're somebody that understands what the Word of God says, it's not going to catch us by surprise. Dr. Susie said to him, like, look, I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be right next to you, Dr. Susie, because I ain't trying to do that.
This is Eric. Dr. Susie, you said that it was mentioned in the Bible other than Jerusalem the most times, right?
Yes.
So these references are never positive, as she said, right? Babylon's origins were pagan, humanistic, and rebellious against God. Unholy.
And that's what we need to remember, though.
Firmly adhered to the city's name. That's what I'm saying.
But
so
it makes sense. Because if the beast is going to be ruling there, you know it's going to be a greedy, corrupt world system that's dominated by this person that's totally apart from God, drawing people away from God, doing everything that is not of God. That's why it is.
That's correct. But what I am attempting to get at is that we who are Christians, and there are going to be a lot of Christians,
mm-hmm.
right, we won't be there because we will be raptured. Amen. But there will still
Amen.
Be Christians who will be drawn to that because they're still trying to seek to make a living. And it's going to offer the most money for those who have the skills to do that work. And what God is saying is that don't fall for that. Trust and believe
Amen.
In me. Don't try to do it outside of me. I will meet all of your needs. You don't need to fall into that trap that we do today. It ain't Babylon
yeah.
that's in Iraq. It ain't Babylon that was in the ancient time. It's the Babylon of the society which we have fallen into, trying to get ahead by any means necessary.
So,
and I think we also need to remember the Antichrist, that's going to be one of the centers. Rome is going to be the political center, and Jerusalem is going to be
right.
the religious center.
The religious center.
So we
the
got
economic center
three different areas to really look at here. So the Antichrist, I mean, and when you think about that, Rome, where's Rome at? I mean, that's the Catholic center. That's where the Pope is at. And you think about Jerusalem, and Christians, Jews, and Muslims. And
yeah.
this person is going to be so powerful that they're going to bring all these things
yeah.
together. And I mean, when you think about that, the kind of influence that this person is going to have and the kind of, overturning of what we think is going on now is going to really be flipped. And this person is going to be ruling.
But, James, it's not going to come out and he ain't going to have no sign flashing on his head talking about, I'm the Antichrist. It's not going to be a sign flashing talking about, this is the wickedness. Stay away from here. It's going to be the same thing that draws us today. Like Eric was saying, big money, job opportunity, a place to party, a place to be able to have fun. Sin is going to be appealing. All the different things, sex and drugs. All of this stuff is going to be there, and it's not going to be flesh in a sign that says, stay away, this is a trap.
Yeah. They're
going to
welcome him in. He's going to be welcome.
And that's what I can imagine, that the commercials to come and visit Baghdad are going to be seductive, they're going to be alluring. And people are going to, it's going to be the accepted norm. I can imagine that, and this is what, has been a discussion amongst people. When the Antichrist rules, is it going to be a just total chaos, or is it going to be order? Is it going to be anarchy, or is the Antichrist going to have some control over society? I kind of think the latter.
He's
going to have
control.
Control.
Yeah.
And you're talking about
the
big
rise
commerce.
And the fall of man
yeah.
separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
Humanism in religion, humanism,
mm-hmm.
world one order is going to be all that stuff. Anything that's drawing one away. I heard somebody say something about the New Age movement. Where it just
mm-hmm.
enough to pull you away, just little by little. But the rebellion from God is not just going to be in one city.
Faith.
It's going to be all over the world.
All over the world.
Amen.
They'll have three centers. But, yeah.
Yeah, I remember, the one thing I remember about Babylon, Eric, is when we did Revelation. And remember that saying that in 18:1-2, the great Babylon the Great is fallen. Babylon
right.
the Great is fallen.
Amen.
And it's going to happen in 1 hour. Now, I don't know what hour signifies. But the point is, it ain't 2 days. It's an hour.
Right. So
we've got
this world
system that people going to build up their whole lives and all of this stuff, and it's going to be gone in a shorter amount of time.
Right. So what John was really saying was that when we think about societies, they dwindle away over time. The Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, it's over time.
Mm-hmm.
But what he is saying is that mm-hmm. this is going to be all at once, an hour within a day. But I believe he literally means within an hour, that it's all going to be wiped away. You're right. They've spent all their life building it up. And in 1 hour, guys, like, it's over. It's done with. Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone, smoke rising. It's over. You're done. I gave you all this time. You didn't take advantage of it. You followed the Antichrist. You took the mark of the beast. See, you wouldn't want to be you.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, and we got to remember, too, all of these women around the world that are disappearing. They ain't going, you know, America, one of the biggest things that we're doing is the slave market, the black market for slavery. People are entrapped. They get shot.
In America, they're actively participating in this sex slave trade.
Actively. And it's going to be, they're estimating in Babylon more than 27 million people trapped in sexual slavery. Well, not in just Babylon, but in the whole world. So God is, that's one of the things that God is going to start, you know, will be judging people by how they treat one another. That'll be one of the reasons they get judged.
So let me, my wife just relayed this message to me of something that happened in Houston, and it's been a couple months ago. But there was a young girl that was on her way to work, and her car quit. And she called her dad, and he said, listen, I can't get to you right now, so let's get an Uber, and they'll get you to work, and I'll pick your car up later and get it fixed and get it taken care of. So the girl does that, and driver picks her up, and she's in the car, and she keeps telling him, you're going the wrong way. And he's like, oh, no, I know a shortcut. Well, he drives to this warehouse area, gets out the car, somebody meets him there, and they're getting ready to open up a truck and drive the car in it with her in it.
Jesus.
And the girl had the forethought to notice that when he got out the car, he didn't lock it. So she got out and ran and screaming, and the police found her. So I tell that story to see how, I mean, Lyft and Uber are a big thing now. We just take it like it's no big deal. Well, I don't take them.
Mm-hmm.
The society has act like it's no big deal. It's you know, it's the end thing to do. It's, you know, it's hip. It's this, it's that. But it's dangerous. See, in a cab, in the old days, your cab had identification. You saw the person's license.
Yes.
You knew the number. You had the medallion. You know, they had gone through some kind of background check to become a cab driver. It may not have been much, but it was some. But I'm just getting in somebody's personal car now that's really not regulated properly.
Right.
And anything can happen to anybody. And so we have just accepted these new things that come around, which is going to be in the tribulation. Oh, that's the hip thing. That's the new thing, you know. You know, oh, it's okay. It's all right. Everybody's doing it. And remember your grandparents and your parents, well, John jumped in the lake. Would you do it too?
Well,
you know?
So
right there.
But when it says that Babylon is going to be destroyed, it will not be found anymore, no music, no money, no majesty, no merchant, no none of this stuff. It's going to all be gone, right? And the question is, what I want to hear y'all talk about is the reactions to the destruction of Babylon. What does it mean when it says the monarchs of the earth will mourn? What's it talking about when they see the smoke of her burning?
Because
the earth will commit it. Who committed fornication and lived luxuriously will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. What are they saying?
Remember when the Great Depression hit and people started jumping out of the windows and stuff?
No more money, no more pleasure,
party. All their money is gone. I mean, all their wealth, their homes, their cars, all everything, their businesses, they're going to go crazy. And they're going to lament. They're not lamenting because of Babylon. They're lamenting because of themselves and what that's going to do to them. So they're going to be sorry.
Yeah.
I heard it this way that during the Depression when people were jumping out, the rich people were jumping out of the buildings and the poor people was on the ground watching them. It was like, we didn't have no money. We didn't lose anything. But here it is. It's like, their way of living, their way of life is destroyed. Because, first of all, that's the center of finance.
Yeah.
That's the center of finance. It's destroyed in 1 hour. And like somebody had said, David Jeremiah says the same thing. It means literally it's going to be taking place in that amount of time. It's instantaneously destroyed. So I would say, too, there's a big moment of shock.
Okay.
And I would say denial. It's like, no.
Well,
no.
My money's gone up in smoke, huh? No pension.
But it's not just their money. It's their way of life.
I know.
It's the party.
They were tied to Babylon in body, mind, spirit, partaking of those luxuries, enjoying that pleasure. And guess what? All of that is reduced like we can. I see it like Sodom and Gomorrah. Boop, poof.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to weep and mourn because it's gone. So the last one talks about the merchants of the earth will mourn. What does that mean? The merchants of the earth will mourn.
The business people.
All those that sold goods and trade.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't make any money.
They don't have their power store. They don't have their banks. They don't have their money. They can't do it anymore. It's just like, their way of life will change. Same way. I mean.
Psalms 52:7 reads, "Here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness." Lord have mercy. So what does it mean when it says the mariners of the earth will mourn? The mariners of the earth will mourn. Bishop Seaman Scott, I'm sorry. Michael.
Sorry.
I know what it is. I know what you mean.
A lot of our...
I said Seaman because I was being facetious about mariner.
I know. Yeah. A lot of the commerce is conducted by super tankers and ships that go across, and we're having a real economic situation that's impacting the United States right now because of certain things that were put in place. They're outside. They can't even come in the port. There's not enough workers. There's not enough people to get the shipment out. I mean, it's all connected. Your center of commerce goes down. You got ships out to sea that, they're not getting paid. They're going to mourn. Being out to sea, You think?
I remember when Eric was teaching Revelations, he was talking about how everything, and y'all know we don't build nothing no more over here. We have it shipped from where? China. Just about everything. China somewhere, shipped from someplace else. So we got all these oceans, right outside Louisiana, L.A., we got all these San Francisco, we got all these bays with all these big ships because
the
they can't bring them in.
All the ports
around
this
ports.
Country.
Yeah, they can't unload fast enough. So you know what that's going to do? That's going to drive up the prices. We're going to have limited supply, and the prices are going to be higher.
And that's already
and,
started.
And so my question is, isn't that how they bring the oil over too?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you know what's going to happen to gas. I'm already crying over $4.05.
It's already started. And it's only going to get worse, unfortunately.
So this
but ye who trust in the Lord know that he will make a way, that we should not fret about such things because he told us they would happen, but we should make our strength the Lord.
There is weeping on earth over Babylon's fall. There will be rejoicing in heaven over the destruction of Babylon. Revelations 18:20. Okay. So that's the end of this section we have covered, and we need to look at our response to Babylon. Come out of her, my people, let you share in her sin, and let you receive her plagues. That's what the Lord told them. So we are closing. And we don't have Britt with us tonight. I don't know. We'll be praying for Britt. So if you would close us with an invitation, anybody, Bishop, Eric, anybody who'd like to close with the invitation, please. We don't have much time.
Bishop,
if you've been listening,
you're nominated.
Bless your heart. If you've been listening to this and you've been pricked in your heart or you've been kind of made nervous, it's important to have the Lord into your life. It's really important to have Jesus Christ as the center of your life. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you asking that you would forgive me of my sins. Blot out all of my hidden sins, all of my transgressions. Cleanse me from all of my iniquities. I want to come into your kingdom as your child. I repent of all my sins. And I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. According to your word, Lord, I am saved. If you prayed that prayer with us, you are born again. Welcome, 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 my brother, my sister, to the
Amen.
Family
Hallelujah.
Of God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So it's back in the hands of Dr. Susie.
Well, we thank you guys for joining us this evening on Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. And we are here every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. Please join us at the number to call in is 646-478-4932. And if you'd like to send us an email, feel free to drop us a line as in the suggestion or questions at drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. We look so forward to having you with us as we celebrate here on Your Place Love Connection. Well, next week we'll be dealing with America. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.